This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I've been trying this new thing where instead of losing weight, I buy clothes that actually fit.
Wow.
Hooray.
I'm Brandi Posey, and a thing about me is that I will most likely find your choreography video corny unless it's doing that thing where the ground shakes with every dance step, and then I will be in awe of your infinite power.
I'm Tess Barker, and sorry I liked Abercrombie as a teen. I was not impervious to the siren song of the Thousand Oaks Mall.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome to the show.
I haven't watched this Abercrombie documentary. Did you watch it, Tess?
No, but you know, like a couple episodes, I was like, Abercrombie was the coolest, horniest thing. And then it's like, it was problematic. And I just want to come on record and say, I have not revisited it in any meaningful way since 1998. I apologize for my troublesome Abercrombie views, as stated. And I was a mall rat, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, they're coming for you. Wet Seal is next. Watch out.
I think they could make that documentary about several different brands from the early 90s, early to late 90s for sure.
Exactly.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Everything was a nightmare. So whatever.
We were living earlier
in it, and we loved it.
Yeah, I was thinking over the weekend, like, oh, because I was going through a bunch of clothes, and I have a couple of like old American Apparel hoodies that like when American went out of business, I bought a bunch of those hoodies because I love the way they fit. And I have a few that have still never been worn. And I was like, this is like a weird relic. Do the kids even know about American Apparel was?
That is, thank you, great example, and more recent than Abercrombie. I also have an American Apparel. It's probably actually one of my oldest pieces of clothing is that hoodie because it's great stand-up outfit.
Yeah,
and
perfect.
You could probably make some money selling those.
That's probably a good idea. I got three extra small hoodies unworn. An orange, a purple, and a navy blue, and they're really good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, or we need to sew that into our new three-person shirt. And just
yes! Three-person hoodie.
No, I think you should just hold on to those forever. No reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I've had them for this long. Why start wearing them now?
Yeah, exactly. You know, those are just oh my God, wait, you know what I remembered? In July, I was looking at like going to a wedding and I saw the sheet or get off the pot reminder for Tess's. Do you remember those? We decided that if Tess didn't use these sheets by that date, she would have to get rid of them. So I'm just reminding you guys it's coming up.
Thank you for that reminder. I appreciate that. Yeah, the time is
gone. A few months.
Quick check-in. I have not done sheet with those sheets.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it'll have to be a ritual of some burning or getting rid of the sheets. Unless you use them. We'll see.
Yeah.
Just gonna find out.
I want to say our next guest we've had on a lot of our live shows. She's such a great performer, and we had it on our Zoom show recently, which if you missed it was so much fun. So don't miss the next one. Our next one is June 5th, and we had a balloon structurist. That's not the right name. A balloonist on our last one. That was super fun, and so we're always bringing fun, interesting things to these shows. First Sunday of every month. So come check us out, ladysunday.eventbrite.com, if you want to see whatever weird shit we're doing.
And you do. And hang out with us. Like, that's a great time for you to come chat with us. you know.
Yeah.
We can help you get rid of your Sunday blues.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
We're very proud to have cultivated a cool as fuck fan base, and it's very fun to like get to meet and hang out with you guys. And these shows are like a very intimate, like fun way to just kind of like goof off and
yeah, you know, see everybody.
We get as much out of it as you guys do too.
Yes,
so.
Exactly.
Would love to see you there.
So yeah, let's get to our podcast episode. My God, we had so much fun hanging out with her. She is a magician who performs at the Magic Castle and Black Rabbit Rose here in Los Angeles. She's been on a TV show produced by the Obamas, no big deal, called Ada Twist Scientist, and she's in an upcoming movie called Marvelous in the Black Hole. It is the siren of magic, Elizabeth Messick. Okay, let's just say hi to our amazing guest, Elizabeth Messick. Hi.
Hello. Good morning. It's 1 o'clock for me, but it's, morning for me.
It's the
whatever.
Artist. It's the artist morning. Yeah. 1
that's
p.m.
Morning.
Is
yeah, that's morning.
Yes.
I think it's fine.
Yeah, it's morning.
Yeah.
This morning. I don't know if anyone else felt, we were recording this one on a Monday. This Monday morning felt particularly difficult for me to
oh,
engage
my
in.
God.
More so yes. than usual. This one just yes. felt very like, yes. ugh, why another Monday? I felt real garbage.
Because you had to talk to me, that's why.
No.
I feel that way every day.
This is truly the highlight of my day, actually, if you look at this.
Yeah, no, I totally, first of all, our coffee machine was broken, so I woke up to insufficient caffeine. Terrible. Then because we usually record at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I woke up at like 9 and I was like, oh, and then people were doing work in our backyard. And I was like, I have to podcast at 10. I have to get out of here. And I like didn't have enough caffeine. And then I got here and logged in and you guys weren't logged on. And then I looked at the calendar and I was like, oh, 1. Okay, cool.
I have to say, because Zoom tells me when someone tries to get into the room when I'm not there. Mm-hmm. And like I saw the email like 5 minutes later and I was like, oh, no, Tess didn't realize what time it was.
That's so sad. Why did we decide on 1 o'clock today? Did you know that I'm not a morning person?
Maybe.
No, I had a podcast earlier today.
That's what it was. Yeah. I was like, I don't know.
No, I was in the Daily Zeitgeist this morning already. I'm doing 4 podcasts today.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Why are you doing okay. No wonder today feels weird.
Yeah. I woke up and I was like, you're gonna have to talk a lot. I just told my roommate, I was like, I need to be silent for about an hour before I am on Zoom for a million hours.
A little Zen meditation. Yes. I'm currently at home in Salt Lake City. I tested positive for COVID 2 days ago.
No.
So I'm holed up. Luckily I'm doing well. So yeah. Thank you everybody. But, I'm literally just like isolated in a back room in my parents' place and yep. They just are like delivering me food outside my door. I feel very lucky. Yeah. It's very sweet. My mom keeps writing little notes with everything.
Aww.
It's adorable.
Aww.
That's so cute. I love that.
And you're from Salt Lake originally?
I grew up in Salt Lake City. I was born in California, cool. But yeah.
All right.
But yeah, I had all these plans and stuff and obviously stuff to do that's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah, I just got better. I made it 771 days because I was still counting.
And then I
got hit and I was like,
No.
Yeah, doing
was
better now,
though.
Was
both of your first time getting COVID?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh.
Have you had it, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I had it. Oh, it was terrible. I had it around Christmas time. I just got, I just broke up with my boyfriend. And then that week I got COVID. And so I had to miss Christmas. And then I was also on my period and was dealing with like this thing that happened to me at the Magic Castle. Dealing with some like creepy guy all in the same week. So yeah. But hey, I got it all out of the way.
Right. You're that's, like, all at once.
Horrible.
Sometimes that's better. Just every shitty thing at once.
I think, you guys, if you had this option, if you could have everything bad that's going to happen to you in a whole year happen to you in 2 weeks, would you take that option?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think I would too.
Yeah, because I think if you also, when you make it through that 2 weeks, it like, you know, it always makes you stronger and more confident in your abilities and stuff. And I'd just be like, all right, baby, bring it on.
Mm-hmm. Right. But would you like it if a bunch of good stuff happened to you in like the span of 2 weeks? Because that's what's happened to me right now. And I'm scared of it.
I don't trust it.
I don't trust it. I'm like, I know I'm going to have a very, very depressive low very soon because everything's good right now. So I'm like,
well, maybe focus on the negative right now. Maybe that'll help.
I will. It will help.
Yeah.
Something's it will. Going that's wrong. What I do anyway. So.
Can you share one of the good things that happened to you, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I'm performing at the Magic Castle for the first time this weekend.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh my gosh, so exciting.
That's terrifying. Exciting, but also right. terrifying. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Like, for people who don't know, the Magic Castle is, like, explain to everyone what Magic Castle is. All of us have been there, but mm-hmm. it's kind of an institution.
Yeah, it's an exclusive club for magicians. It was opened in the 1960s, and you have to have an invitation to go inside, or you have to be a member. I am a magician member. I had to audition to become a magician member, and it's just like this clubhouse. It's really fun. You have to dress fancy for it. No photos are allowed inside, and it's in this, like, Victorian mansion. It's probably not a mansion. It's a chateau. That's what it's called, a Victorian chateau.
Ooh.
And it's filled with a lot of, like, nooks and crannies and magicians performing everywhere. It's really cool. I believe only 10% of the members are female, and not very many women perform there. So it's quite an honor to do this, but it's been looming over my head for years, like, one day I'll perform at the castle, and now it's here, so now my life is going to be before the castle and after, and I'm just afraid, because it's, yeah, my dream is coming true.
Yeah, it's, no one really tells you how anxiety-inducing it is to have your dreams come true.
I know, diarrhea every day. I mean, that's already how it is for me anyway, but, like, even more.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody talks about the diarrhea involved when you're pursuing your lifelong goals.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Can I just tell you, if you are a venue owner and you are listening to this podcast, the most important room in your venue is the performer's bathroom.
Yes. Mm. We need nice, yes, clean bathrooms.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Something private that's, like, away from everybody, because everybody gets pre-show shits. just a little, yes, showbiz secret for the listener.
Yeah, that's the Magic Castle is so cool. I mean, I've had a few fun experiences there. It's like, you know, you get dressed up, it overlooks LA. It's like at the top of this hill in Hollywood.
Right. And Hollywood,
and it's your secret entrance situation. Yeah. And it's so much fun, and it's definitely, like, one of the coolest things to go to as a, you know, as a guest or as an audience member. So I can imagine just, like, the honor of performing there. That's so exciting.
Yeah, thank you. It's very exciting. It's a lot of, a lot of expectations, especially as a woman. I don't want people to think I was hired because I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. So making sure that I have the quality of work that people expect there. It's a whole thing, but I'm excited. It's good.
Well, you're fine. I mean, we've had you on a couple Lady to Lady live shows, and you're fantastic. I'm very excited for our larger audience to get to see you there too. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Do you know, like, is it called a set in that context?
Yeah, I call it a set. But yeah, that's what I call it.
How long of a set will you be doing?
We're doing about 35 minutes. We, as in me and my magic partner, I don't call myself a we, although I probably should, because I have a lot of
after you
emotions.
After you do this show, you got to start calling yourself a we. Really get, yes, more mysterious, we, I think.
Our name is Elizabeth Messick. so it's a 35-minute set, and we're performing in the Peller, which is, so there are different theaters there. The Peller is where two people perform, and it's kind of more of the experimental theater. So my partner and I are doing, we're kind of doing a little bit of absurd comedy in the act, as well as music, juggling, and of course magic. So it's like a vaudeville kind of a set. It'll be fun.
That's hell exciting.
Yeah.
How, like, because with stand-up, like, we practice at open mics and stuff, and it's, like, mm-hmm. very in front of each other, but I would assume most of magic is, like, you at home trying to figure out, like, a, like what is the process of, like, getting a joke from, like, thought up the stage?
Right. So we actually do have a lot of jokes in our act, so in a way it's very similar to stand-up. We have these, like, quote-unquote open mic rooms at the Magic Castle. It's called the Hat and Hair and the Cellar. They're underground, and that's where magicians just practice their sets. Mm. You get to sign up a 30-minute slot, and yeah, you just bring some people down and see what works.
Wow.
So I'm really lucky that we have something like that there.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And I know we were kind of talking about, yeah, like, comedy being similar to magic in certain ways, and that people just, like, don't want to grow up. But I feel like I feel like magic probably has an even deeper, like, sense of, like, guys who feel like they belong, or, you know, they feel like they've earned a path and something like that. Is that how you feel?
Elizabeth yeah. is smiling very big right now.
I know. I have to be very careful with my words. I think magic, it's filled with a lot of great people, but then there's also a lot of the people who haven't been able to really grow up in a certain way. And there's a lot of what you call our hack magicians. I think you probably have hack comics,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, who
of course. Just like tell the classic jokes. I think it's a little bit easier to be a hack magician because you can literally go to a magic store and buy a self-working trick that comes with a script, mm-hmm. and you're allowed to perform that. Mm-hmm. And so magic is filled with a lot of that. And those are usually the people who kind of put women and people in marginalized positions yeah. down mm-hmm. because it's like a threat or something of like course. That. I don't know yeah. what the question was. I just started
but
saying
that's it. The answer.
That's all the answer. That's the answer.
We were just confirming yeah. what we all knew.
Yeah. 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 And I don't think any of them would listen to this podcast anyway.
No. Yeah. No. No, I do like that. I feel it's almost like the Harry Potter invisibility cloak, our title, because we can, like, just by saying that, we keep out a lot of people who
right. It's an automatic filter.
Yeah, exactly. I love it.
What were, like, your, like, magical, like, what made you want to, it's the standard question, what made you want to get into this? Like, what were, like, your magical influences, like, coming up? Because, like, there aren't that many female magicians, at least that I know of.
Right. My influence is an imaginary character named Matilda.
Uh-huh. Oh, Roald Dahl, as in the Roald Dahl.
Matilda. Okay. Yeah, nice. As in, like, Mara Wilson, Danny DeVito, Rhea Perlman.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, that book. Rules.
We're Danny DeVito yeah. podcast, so.
Yeah. You approve. Could say we Stanny DeVito.
I Stanny DeVito, yeah. Yeah. Actually, another good thing that happened to me this week was I was in a movie with Rhea Perlman where I played a magician, and she played a magician. So, yeah, that's like full circle. And I told her, like, Matilda was the reason I became a magician.
Oh, I love
so
that.
So it was pretty cool. And I actually have, like, a Matilda-inspired piece. I'm not doing it at the castle. I usually do it for kids' shows. But, yeah, it was
that
Matilda.
That is so cute. I love – oh, yeah, I saw your picture with her. You guys were so cute.
She's so sweet. But I was so afraid of her as a kid growing up because she played the scary mom. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Have you all seen that movie? If not, you have to.
Yes. I have not seen it in a while, but I read the book when I was a kid, too. So I feel like I have,
right.
between the reading the book and the movie, I think I remember it. I'm remembering
like
a cake
I actually
scene.
Watched it for the first time recently, and it was very good.
Oh, do you really? Remember Miss Honey?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Sure. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What an amazing teacher. I remember mostly the cake.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I remember, too. Cake.
Oh, God, the giant chocolate
was
cake.
Like, I think made me an emotional eater as a child. I was like, I would eat that whole thing. And I would feel I so accomplished.
Yeah. Intersperse that and the giant stack of pancakes from Uncle Buck. Those were, like, interchangeable in my mind.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
So you said, when I asked Elizabeth to do the podcast, she was like, I can talk about the secret that I just told the world. And I was like, what is that?
What is it?
So she said she's with her magic partner.
Ooh.
They're together, and it was like a big scandal.
Oh, really?
Oh, my. I love this. Okay, let's hear the whole thing. So, how did it start? How did it transpire?
Okay, here it is. So, the person I'm performing with in the Peller is, his name is Eric Thurston. He and I started working together in November. I've had a crush on him for 4 years. Mm. I would do these little moves, and I don't make first moves, but I did for him. Because he just wasn't creepy. He was very sweet and respectful, and I was like, I want him to notice me. And I don't date magicians. I don't date comics anymore. But something about him. So 4 years ago, and he specifically remembers this, we performed at this show together, and, like, I had him zip up my dress.
Great
you know?
Move.
He didn't have to. I can zip up my own dress. Yeah. But it was, like, little moves like that, and he never reacted to them really. He never liked any of my thirst traps on Instagram. I always noticed that.
Your thirstin' traps?
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. Yeah. And you know, I never liked his either because, you know, I was like, I don't want him to know that I have a crush on him. So it was kind of this weird thing where it was just, I guess we had a secret magic crush on each other. But so he asked me to work with him in November and I had a boyfriend at the time, but I was like, oh, my magic crush wants to work with me. That's cool. And this is safe because I have a boyfriend. Like nothing will happen. We'll just, you know,
yeah,
have a great time and work together. But I had already wanted to break up with my boyfriend. I tried to in October and then I break up with him in December. And, you know, Eric and I are working together. It's very professional. And then one night we go out and he ends up like, you know, there's this girl and they end up like kissing or whatever. Mm-mm. And I got super jealous.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I have to tell him how I feel. So I tell him how I feel. I ask him out on a date, which I never do. And he rejects me. Yeah. He rejects me.
But this is pull like a flower from behind his ear when you asked him?
I did. Oh. Yes.
Standard.
Exactly.
Yes. Perfect.
Right. And he was like, no, the stakes are too high. You know, this should just be professional, all this stuff. And I'm like, but we had chemistry. I know it. Mm. Our rehearsals last so long. You cook me dinner. We laugh at everything and we just understand each other. We get the world of magic. And he's like, yeah, it needs to be professional. So I'm like, okay. So we're continuing to work together. So many people at the castle ask if we're dating and I just have to go, no, we're twins. That was like our response.
Oh, we're twins. Great response.
Yeah. And then a few weeks ago, I go on this cruise. It was a Disney cruise. And at this point, we had worked together so much and really, really, really got to know each other. And I start going on these dates with these men and I'm slowly starting to like forget about him. Mm-hmm. And apparently he missed me while I was on the cruise. Mm-hmm. And he was sad that I didn't say bye to him at the Magic Castle the night before. And so, he's like texting me a lot while I'm on this cruise. Also I'm just going to note, he was a bit of a bad boy. I'm not going to tell you the bad boy things he's done, but I'm a very good girl. I don't really drink or do any of that stuff. And I found out he did this bad boy kind of thing while I was on the cruise, and I got very upset with him. I was disappointed because I thought he was going to be a little more sober.
A good boy.
Yeah, because we had talked about it. And I was very disappointed, and his reaction to it was he felt so sorry and so sad about how I reacted, and he was going to stop doing the bad boy thing. And he did stop. I didn't ask him to stop. Mm-hmm. He just decided to because he'd rather quit that than like ever disappoint me again. And I'm like, that's weird. I was like, I really got to set some boundaries with this guy. Because this is like very unhealthy. I still like kind of like him, and then he's leading me on in these weird ways. And then on the last day of the cruise, I get very, very bad food poisoning.
Oh my gosh.
He picks me up and then he has these groceries for me and he's like, good morning, sunshine. And I'm like, what? I really need to establish boundaries. When I feel better, I need to tell him he can't like be all cute and stuff because I can't move on.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so I was vomiting, diarrhea, like both ends, blah, blah, blah. And he took care of me. And then the day after the cruise, he revealed his feelings to me. And then I responded with, why? You know, I was very mad because it had been months of me crying over him every night. Mm-hmm. And, but I was like, you know how I feel. And then that night we had our first kiss and, I vomited all over his brand new suit.
Oh, what a beautiful story.
That is the grossest
we've been together ever since. That was 4 weeks ago. And so we were kind of like secretly dating for a little bit. So we would go to the castle and like kiss behind the the curtains and
Hell yeah, that's hot.
Right.
Some like backstage high school theater like shenanigans.
Right. And it's kind of, you know, a little bit of the talk of the town because we both started as duos. I was in a female duo, he was in a male duo, and we were like rivals. Mm. And then we would perform together and we have these like rival videos, and now we became a duo. So yeah, people are just like interested to see what it's gonna be like.
Ooh. I mean, I think you fixed him, which we try to warn against on the show.
Yeah.
But
but it is possible.
She proved it.
Yeah.
He was a walking red flag. Like, my friends and I were examining how often he would make me cry, and like we were trying to see the patterns of it. We thought he was a narcissist, but it turns out he was just really respectful and didn't want to ruin the professional relationship, and he didn't ever want to date a female magician because that's like not what you do. Like, mm-hmm. he's professional, but yeah.
Okay, well, I'm happy for you, but I'm also nervous, so don't let him saw you in half anytime soon.
No.
Oh, I'll saw him in half, don't worry. He's my assistant. So. But yeah, that's a bit of the story, and now we're just very happy, and we're like, whatever, it doesn't need to be a secret, but we're still twins.
Now I'm excited to see you guys perform sometime, but this adds an element of
yeah. Thank you. I'm very happy. Yeah.
Imagine. All right, we have to take a break, everybody, but we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Elizabeth.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
We gave Elizabeth a preview of what our game is, and she was very excited.
Oh, great.
MySpace quiz. So let's play our theme song. I feel like I haven't heard this one in a second. I'm very excited.
It is good.
Nice voices.
Thank you.
Ooh.
Quiz. Yeah.
Oh my God. We've never had a guest add on to our harmony before.
MySpace quiz.
Yes. Elizabeth's like a legit singer, so we should have her come in and help us with some new.
We should say for the
your song is perfect.
We should say for the listener, you're also like an amazing singer, and that's a big part of your magic act, which is very cool to see.
Thank you. Oh yeah, yes, it is a very big part of my magic act. Singing is my very first love. To make money as a singer when you look like me and sound like me, it's like, yeah, everyone in LA looks and sounds like this. But if you add some magic to it, then you get to pay the bucks.
Hey.
That's the fun. Yeah, that's a cool combo. Mm-hmm. I feel like singing is, to me, like the most, is so vulnerable. Like, music is more vulnerable than anything to me.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, because you are allowed to be vulnerable when you sing, mm-hmm. but when you're performing magic, I feel very vulnerable because if I make any mistake, people want you to make mistakes, and they're like,
right. yes,
mess up. We want you to mess up. But with singing, it's okay if you do because everyone's like on your team. They're like mm-hmm. also vulnerable with you.
Unless you're Fergie singing in the national anthem.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. That actually,
Yeah, that's the only
I do feel like, the national anthem can get some people rooting against you sometimes.
Actually, I'm a hypocrite. Actually, that's exactly how I feel when I hear people sing the national anthem. I get bad. Yeah.
Yeah, it truly is like the, it's not unlike ice skating where it's like you're happy when they do well, but you're happier when they fall.
Ignore everything I just said. It's just worse when you're doing both, I guess. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, well, Elizabeth, we have some MySpace questions for you.
Yes. What did I say? It was the original demisexual thirst trap.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wait, I'm sorry to ask this, but what is demisexual?
Oh, it's basically
you're attracted to someone's brains.
Yeah, you're sexually attracted to someone them. When you get to know them emotionally, and yeah, it. Uh-huh. I'm not just ever just sexually attracted to anyone. I have to get to know him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Otherwise, we'd all be attracted to Tom Brady.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so this is so great. You didn't used to post your bulletins, so you can feel like this is you following through and posting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Your bulletins. Okay. What is a weird lie you've told?
Oh, a weird lie I've told. Okay, when I was younger, oh, this is the first time I've ever admitted this.
Oh my God.
Oh, exciting.
Confession session, an old one too. Yes.
I said I was allergic to strawberries because I didn't like the taste of them, but actually I had never tasted strawberries, and I recently tasted them a few years ago and I like them, so I'm no longer allergic.
That's the cutest thing that you could have said after the build up to that. I was expecting like, oh no, I killed a man.
Well, that too, but that's not, you know, a secret.
Yeah. Do you guys ever feel like your like tastes or like distastes or I guess likes or dislikes in food, people start to like make that a thing about you, and then you feel like you can't ever try that food?
I don't know if I make it a thing, but I do find it. I guess I find it funny when people get mad at me for like not liking tomatoes, and it's like I'm not trying to like I'm not making it up, like it's not my fault.
Yeah,
they take it really personally. Yucky.
They do. They take it very personally.
They do, don't they?
Yeah. People don't understand how I don't like eggs, and I'm just like, I don't know how to tell you. I just don't. And
I was just about to get mad at you. What?
Texture, baby.
It's like a classic, it's like a Twitter thing where everything you write on Twitter, everyone takes personally when you're like, that really had nothing to do with you, actually. Nothing. It had to do with me and my own thoughts.
Yeah.
That's how some people are. Well, the more successful you get, I don't know if you have gotten this, people get mad at you for being successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They take it personally.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
Yeah, it's funny. Everyone's always like, they're just jealous. And I'm like, okay, well, that's not helping the way my brain is taking this in. They're still
right. She's like, what did I do? Should I just not be successful? Maybe, yeah.
That's what everyone wants. So
yeah. I guess I'll just eat everything. why did you just think that you didn't like strawberries? Was it just like the look of them? You just were like, not interested? Because you'd never tried one before, but you knew you thought you didn't like them.
I think it was like in a salad or something. I don't like vegetables, and I think it was in a salad, and I'm like, that's a vegetable. I don't like it.
Wow. Hold on. Let's simple as that. Pause. You don't like vegetables.
Yeah, that's a thing.
You don't like any? My brother's the same way.
Like my boyfriend, I can call him my boyfriend now. He's like feeding me vegetables. I recently started getting into avocado. If you put like lemon in it,
right.
I like.
I get it. I'm not like a huge vegetable person. I have to really force myself. Like I could really just not eat vegetables and be fine.
Right. Mm. And then I found out recently I'm anemic, which is why I like fainted a couple times. And so the doctor's like, you got to eat vegetables. So yeah,
get your iron up.
They're like strawberry vegetable diet.
Yeah. Well, Tess, I would bet like because you're from out here in California and you grew up around a lot of farms, so you probably had a lot of fresh vegetables growing up. My growing up, at least, most of the vegetables I ate were canned and were like just
that's a whole different ballgame.
And I just I didn't realize I liked stuff until I had like the fresh versions of a lot of things. But I was like, oh
that's interesting.
Peas are really good. Like, oh, spinach is like actually like it's like I like all these things because I've had like the real versions of them that aren't mushy in a can.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from like a farming family too. So like when I was a baby, like this is like a urban legend about my babyhood. But apparently my dad would like bring broccoli literally straight from the farm and then come home and puree it for me. And that was my earliest baby food. And as a baby, my parents would try to feed me like meat baby food and I would throw it back in their faces. Like as an infant, I hated meat and I loved broccoli. Whoa. But probably you're right. God. It was getting. No, I'm sorry, guys.
are you vegetarian?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's really cute. I love that.
But yeah, I think there is something just in me, like in infancy. Right. I was just like, get this out of my face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always call myself a garbage can. Like I can really, I can eat like anything and I can especially eat shitty food and it won't affect me. And it's like,
that's
annoying.
How I am. Too.
Well,
I eat a lot of shitty food.
I wish.
What's everyone's favorite garbage can food?
Any.
I mean, I.
anything that, I mean, like a 7-Eleven pizza. I can fuck up a 7-Eleven pizza.
Yeah.
It's gross.
I can too. Good,
I'm into the hot dog version.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'll say hot dogs. Those are generally like so gross, but yeah, I can fuck those up.
And a cup of noodles, like in the styrofoam, you know, like put in the microwave. Like I'm, probably going to get cancer from it. I love it.
I can do a novelty pure salt burger. No problem. Like
a what?
A novelty burger of some kind. I can get into for sure. Like I can... Yeah, I wish I was a little bit more sensitive to stuff because it would make me maybe stop eating it.
That's how I am with candy. Like the amount of candy I can eat without feeling sick is disgusting. Like I literally can't have it in my house because my bot, like my tank never gets to full. It's just like just keep putting it down.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I do have a lot of bowel issues. I just don't care.
Yeah. Right. You're like, it's not enough for me to put those things
away. It's probably my body saying you shouldn't be doing this, but I'm like, I'm used to it.
Okay, let's.
Okay.
Elizabeth, do you know triplets?
Oh. I have a lot of twins in my family. Do I know triplets? Yes. A couple of my friends have triplets that I've met once. It's not an interesting answer.
Well, I guess, close I don't enough. Know how it would. Yeah.
I mean, I have brothers who are triplets. That's probably
okay. That's interesting. That is very close.
Yeah. They're teenagers, so they're a lot younger than me. But yeah, I'm a sister to triplets.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I always forget that.
They always you kind of forget about triplets because twins, I know a lot of twins that feels very all right, cool. But then it's three. There's a third?
Oh, you guys, when they were babies, you know that joke? Birth control, truly birth control.
Oh, I'm sure.
You would go over to that house and it would be it was a literal juggling act. Like, there were always more babies than there were hands to hold them. It was it was like a cyclone of children.
Yeah, I cannot imagine having more than one baby at once. That's wild.
Are they, they're younger than you?
They're a lot younger than me. Yeah, they're 16.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And were you in the house when they were babies? Like, were you helping?
I was already an adult when they were born, but I've always been really I've babysit them a lot. Like, I've had them over to my house, gone on trips with them. Yeah, I've been pretty involved in their life. Yeah, and they're all very different. Mm-hmm. Very different.
Oh. And are they identical?
They're fraternal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Did they were they dressed the same as children? Like, did your parents ever try to do the we got three?
Definitely for photos and stuff like that. But I think especially even more so with triplets than twins, I think there's you feel this pressure to really differentiate between them. And at least for myself personally, I try not to get them all the same present for Christmas. Like I always try to or for their birthday because they have to share a birthday with two other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a list of celebrity twins and I forgot that Tia and Tamara Mowry were the other big twins besides the Olsen twins of growing up.
Oh, they're still out there. They've got multiple reality shows. They're still doing shit.
I had a way to differentiate them. Tia and Tamara was freckle, no freckle. Mm. Freckle, ooh. I think Tia, freckle. Tamara.
Tia Freckle.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
They really, they're out here doing reality shows. I gotta say, the Olsen twins, they don't need to, but if I would watch the fuck out of their reality show.
Oh my God.
I know.
I would, if I had a network, I would pay any amount of money to have a reality show with the Olsen twins. I'm so fascinated by them. I would watch them.
Very interesting.
It could just be a Jim Jarmusch movie of them just cigs and drinking coffee.
Did you guys
going to any Full House reunions?
Right. Did you used to play Mary-Kate and Ashley when you were a kid like I did, or is that just me?
I never played them. I feel like they were a little young for my...
Yeah. Did you play it by yourself? Or did you have...
Yeah, with my reflection.
Oh, okay.
That's so sad.
That's hilarious.
Did you do the pizza song?
P-I-Z-Z-A. No, I was more Two of a Kind era Mary-Kate and Ashley when they're teenagers. Yeah. I did that when I was a teenager.
I feel like this has been explained to us as the public, but why are they so rich? Like, I get they did a couple of videos and maybe they had a clothing line.
Dual Star, their production company.
That was the one that made all their movies and stuff?
Made all their movies, and they had the Walmart, real clothes for real girls, which is their clothing line.
Yeah, I think they just franchised their brand like super early, so they had tons of clothes and like everything.
Right.
They probably were in charge of all of it, actually, and like own the IP, so.
Right. Yeah. And they're
worth $250 million each. That's crazy.
I'm just so obsessed with them for so many. Like, I think they both have such good style. Like, to me, they are the epitome of glamour. Like, they make, they're the only people that can be holding like a cigarette and a yoga mat and a cup of coffee and just look so hot doing it. Like, and then the fact that they have each other, like, you know, they're not lonely because they can, like, they have another one to go through
they're
it
best
with.
Best friends. I know. Unless one of them dies.
Oh no.
I know.
And then they'll make a hit movie about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
but then there's Elizabeth
the
Olsen
actor.
And the other. Yeah. Yeah. Other so
sister.
It's fine. They're basically triplets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then Elizabeth Olsen and the, she's coming into her own.
And then they have a couple of other siblings who look just like them as well.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah. It's fun.
Okay. One more cue. So what do we want to do here?
Let's do, what's one thing that you should probably get rid of, but just can't?
Oh.
looking around at all.
No, I mean, I have a lot of dresses, probably a lot of those. You know, I gained a couple pounds over COVID and a lot of my dresses don't fit me anymore, but I can't get rid of
them.
That's
tough. That's always
it's tough.
It's a hard gamble because you're like, yeah, these could fit me. They cost a lot of money. Like, what am I going to do? Just fucking get rid of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely went the opposite end, and I'm a new size, and I just bought shit that actually fits me, and it's going great. Because I was like, I'm not squeezing myself into the shit anymore.
Did you get rid of a bunch of shit?
I did. I kind of like, I didn't want to like put myself through actually getting rid of it, so I just put a ton of shit to the side, and I was like, you're not wearing this now, just get it out of your sight. And then, like, I'll deal with it eventually, you know?
I'll invite you guys now. And Elizabeth, if you want to come to this too, my roommate Anna, for her birthday, she's going to do a clothing swap at our place.
Ooh, fun.
Oh, I have so much.
A fun, like, birthday activity. So everyone gets a present if you want.
Yes.
That's fun.
Yes.
I feel like I've gotten some of my favorite stuff at clothing swaps. And it's always fun to see someone in your stuff later.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes, because you know it's going to a good home.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
I can't remember if, like, we've talked about it on or off the podcast, but like I think we've talked about like how fun it would be to do like a tour, a lady to lady tour that was just like clothing swaps during the day and then like shows at night.
Oh my god, that's a really fun
maybe
idea.
That's just that a lot I've had. I can't remember.
I don't remember that.
Okay, well anyway, that's a tour idea that I think would be really.
You
really
don't even
fun.
Need to do laundry. You just get new clothes every day.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, we just
have them do laundry.
The rule is that we have to wear something we found at the clothing swap during the show.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are but we like underwear?
Okay, guys, I think
PJ's no underwear.
PJ's no underwear. I like that. But I think we do need to be a little bit honest here. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in clothing swaps, what happens is everyone brings that dress or that shirt that seemed like a good idea at the time that you got at Forever 21 that actually fits poorly. Mm-hmm. And then you make it someone else's problem.
Yes.
But that's your choice to make it your problem.
Yeah.
Like, but
if
like,
you take
let's
it.
Be real. I feel like a good 80% of the stuff I get at clothing swaps, I end up then taking to the thrift store a year later.
Well, yeah, but I feel like it's an average. I don't know. I feel like I come out pretty.
Oh yeah,
pretty well.
It's worth it for that 20% to me for sure. But yeah, I definitely take in some like my fishnet takes in.
Oh
some,
yeah,
like,
because
unwanted.
You're like it's free. Let me just take this, and then you're like, oh, I just have all this shit now. Yeah,
exactly. Totally. Yeah, exactly.
Get that free brain. Going.
Yeah, I hate to admit that, but you're right.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, okay, we're gonna I don't know, we'll be right back. I was gonna try and make a clothing swap joke, but nothing came to mind. We'll be back in a second. Hey everyone, I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Okay, we're going to do some lady problems and give advice to all of the lost souls who somehow ask us to solve their problems.
Lady problems.
Lady problems.
Lady.
Lady.
Lady problems.
Lady problems.
Lady problems.
Problems.
Do you have them? Lady problems.
Problems.
Do you have them?
All the time.
People have them.
Ooh.
I like the guest freestyling over the songs.
Yeah. We should ask for everyone to do that.
Hi, ladies. I'm calling. Just have a little problem. Nothing crazy. I'm 27. My boyfriend's 33. I met him at a show. I thought he was cute. He was selling merch. I left my number on a bar napkin. And the rest is history. So I live in Southern California. He lives in Richmond, Virginia. We've been doing long distance for about 6 months. And I'm actually going to be moving out there in the summer. I'm really excited. My lady problem is not a big one. But I'm not a big drinker, but I do on weekends, you know, like to let loose a little bit. My boyfriend does not drink. He never had a problem with alcohol. He just never got into it. And it's not necessarily a problem, but I think I feel just a little kind of would wish, you know, that sometimes if we go out, if we both get a little tipsy together, you know, just that. And I think it's just more, and he doesn't care that I drink. I'm not a big drinker anyway. But he has some words of encouragement, but it's not a big deal. My previous relationship was a very abusive alcoholic. So it's a big one, like, change, good one. But, you know, just to, you know, some words of encouragement that I'm not, that I'm just nitpicking this. Also, I know you give a lot of advice for moving to a big new city. I'm going to be moving to Richmond from, I live in San Diego now. Just, and I know you always give advice for meeting friends. I'm a bartender, so I'll be moving out there. So, yeah, and We have a lot of fun together. I'm leaving Vegas right now. We had a great weekend. But, yeah, any little advice would be great. Thank you, ladies. I love you so much. I appreciate it.
Aw.
Aw. Little advice.
Love it. Little advice.
Well, it sounds exciting. That's congrats. Sounds like you're in a fun...
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah, this is so exciting.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all have different degrees of, like, experience and... this situation, I am definitely the person who drinks more in my relationship. My boyfriend is just like not, booze just doesn't agree with him. So it doesn't matter, you know, like I kind of find it nice because I have the option to like go for it if I want, but I can also not. And then we can still do our own thing and have fun either way, you know, so I feel like nothing's like dependent on that, which I feel like it's kind of been dependent in the past, like in that way where you're like, I have to do this to have fun almost. Mm-hmm. And it's nice being with somebody where that's not like the case for sure.
Yeah. And I'm the person who doesn't really drink that often. And my partner does like on occasion, but yeah, it's not a big issue. And congratulations. I think it's going to work out just well. And I'm really sorry that you were in a relationship with an alcoholic. I've been there before too, and I know mm-hmm. how terrible mm-hmm. it can be. But here's your words of encouragement. I think it's great, and I think you're great, and I'm very happy for you.
Aww. I love that. Yeah, I mean, listeners know I don't drink. I never have. It's like just not a big deal. Not something I ever wanted to do. And like, I think, you know, I fucking hang all the time anyway. I mean, I don't. I think there's. As long as there's nobody's like being judgy and everyone's cool, it's great. And it's nice to have, I think, a reporter at the end of the night to tell you what happened.
No, that's not good. No one wants that.
No, it's not. Oh,
okay. But yeah.
But your partner drinks, right, Brandy?
Yeah. Rick drinks. And like, it's, yeah, he drinks, he smokes weed. It's like no problem. I mean, like, mm-hmm. I don't think I need it to like loosen up. Like, I'm, you know, pretty comfortable just like talking to people and stuff anyway, so you know, dancing or whatever, it's like not that just has never really been like that much of an issue. So,
yeah, I mean
I think it's a good thing.
First of all, if as far as your words of encouragement, I'm happy to tell you, have a drink. You deserve it. And
yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, it sounds like you work around alcohol. I think when you work in a bar, that actually can really help you moderate quite a bit, because you're really you need to be the one that knows when someone can't be served. And you're used to kind of being around alcohol. And I think it can actually help you be pretty moderate in your use of it. And if you like drinking, it's like gonna be, it's who you are. So he may as well just get used to it. Like, you're good. Don't feel, you should never apologize for like what you want to do or who you like. You know, I don't eat meat, and my husband loves to eat meat. Like, it's not something, like, you know, it's something that I don't personally do, but that doesn't mean that I think it needs to extend to like what my partner does. And like, he kind of makes fun of me because he'll order like a steak and I'm like, oh, is that T-bone? You got a T-bone? And like, I'm just like, that's cool. Like, you know, like, we don't have to share every single thing. Like, it's okay to have different things that you like to indulge in. And it doesn't sound like you're crossing into the line of it being problematic or anything. So you should just enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I think like, as long as he's not judging you or putting something weird on you, which it doesn't sound like he is, that's the most important thing. I think that's when I really realized that I had a great partner was, you know, there are certain things that I, like, I'm messy and I was always ashamed of that, you know, and like, I was worried that he would be judgy of me drinking or something like that. And he never, ever, ever is. And I think that that's a very good sign of someone who, you know, is a good person to be with.
I think also just like, I'd ask that, make sure that you respect his decisions the way that he is respecting yours too. You know, I mean, like, if he doesn't want to drink and he doesn't drink, and that's no problem. I wouldn't try to push him to change that at all though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you guys both just have to, like, it's either going to work with you guys being yourselves or it's not. So, like, you just got to kind of put your real self out there and hope for the best. But, yeah, you sound really happy and, like, you're in a really good place. And, yeah, I think also the fact that you do have, it sounds like, you know, kind of an upsetting past relationship. I would maybe, it sounds like you are being kind of mindful of how that could potentially be coloring this situation. But sometimes I think it can help to just rationally think about that. Like, that's... Is this really about what's going on now, or is this a little bit about your previous relationship?
Totally. And I mean, Richmond's an awesome city. It's really cool. We've done shows out there. It's like got a lot of like, it's got a very cool like art scene out there. Like, it's just a really rad cool place. I like Richmond a lot, so I'm excited for you to move to a fun place.
Congrats.
It's good. And like, also on the East Coast, something too that, especially moving to that kind of area that you don't really have as much as Southern California, is that like when you're in Richmond, you're just a few hours from DC, you're just a few hours from Baltimore, you're just a few hours from Philly. New York's not that far. There's like a train that'll take you to all of those cities within like 5 hours of each other. So it's like, it really, like, that corridor opens up just getting to explore so much because stuff is so close to each other.
And you're making me want to move there.
I know.
It's where I'm from. I love it. I love it much. So it's you know, I'm excited for you to get to explore and see a bunch of stuff. And there's a lot of very cool history. And it's, Virginia can be gorgeous.
It's funny, you know, being a drinker with a non-drinker, because my version of exploring is like hitting dive bars. Mm-hmm. So we have to split our, you know, like who wants to do, what is each person up for here?
Mm-hmm. Is there anything he likes to do that you're not into?
I mean, I'm generally the person making us go places. So. Not really. He's always down, you know, it just like depends on where we are or whatever.
Yeah.
How long have you been with your partner for?
3 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
Congrats. He's a sweetie.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't, this is not for everyone. Not everyone likes to run, but like, I really like when I'm in a new city to like find a cool path or something to run on, because I feel like that is a really cool, like, intimate way to kind of get to know a place. So maybe it'd be fun to like, if you don't like to, I don't know, make a playlist and go on a walk or play some podcasts and walk around the city. I think that just kind of tripping around on foot is a really good way to like get excited about a place and find little different like nooks and crannies and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. You always see so much more than you do just driving around.
Yeah,
definitely. There's a really great bar in Richmond called Guar Bar. I hope it's survived. It's owned by the members of Guar, and it's very fucking cool. So he'll probably say that.
Oh my God, please go see if that survived.
Yeah, Guar Bar is awesome. It has a lot of like Guar's old costumes and stuff, and their food is legit too. So it's pretty fun.
Good luck. All right, let's do one more.
All right.
Hi, ladies. big fan of the show. Been listening for several years now. I'm calling because I have a dear, dear best friend who has been with me. I'm 30 years old. We've been best friends since we were like 15. We're both gay, and he, you know, has always been like my biggest cheerleader and has just been there for me in so many ways. And something that I would like your advice on is I've realized over the last couple of years that he's kind of a conversation dominator. And, you know, we're both theater kids, older theater kids now, obviously, but we grew up doing like musicals and things together. And so he has a huge personality, and that personality really kind of dominates the room. And I have a bunch of other friends that are awesome, but not as loud spoken. And I notice when he's in the mix, those friends are quieter and, you know, the conversation just doesn't flow. It's just kind of like his show. And so I feel like he will be really sensitive to any kind of criticism, and I'm not looking to criticize him, but I am looking to kind of increase the vibes in the conversations that I'm having and make them feel better for everyone that are a part of them. So just wondering your thoughts about that. Thanks so much. Bye.
Wow. I relate a lot to this. Yeah. I mean, you can't fix theater kid, you know?
Yeah, you can't really. There's not really anything you can say to him that I think will change it. I think the only thing you can do is, in the circle at the time, adapt and try to bring more people into the combo as he's talking, you know, maybe like giving them opportunities to talk or something. But other than that, I don't know.
Yeah. I think this is like, it's kind of similar to the last person in a way, because it's like, this is who this friend is. That's his personality. You've known this person for 30 years. So I think it's just like, think of him as an ingredient that doesn't go in every dish. You know, like when he's there, exactly, you're going to have to do a little bit of accommodating and keep it flowing. But maybe there are things that you don't need to invite him to if you're going to feel a little bit anxious about having him there. Or maybe it's more one-on-one hangs and stuff like that, because you're kind of used to this.
Yeah, it sounds smart. Like it's like her, maybe some newer friends of hers that aren't in the same group as him, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's, I see, like, yeah, sometimes friends just don't mesh. And it doesn't mean, like, you know, that you have to cut them out or something. But maybe it is just being like, you know what? I thought these friend groups would mesh. They kind of don't. We'll just kind of keep it this certain way. And it's, I'm guessing that maybe he's even more like that when he's around your other newer friends out of a little bit of insecurity, you know? So it might just be about letting him get to know people on his own, like, a little bit. It takes time to, like, get to know people as you're older, too, and eventually, like, he probably won't change, but it'll at least be just like the flow is okay because everyone kind of understands like how it works now, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Good advice. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's right. I mean, especially if like none of your friends have like said anything too, they also might be fine. Just sometimes it's fun just to be like at dinner with a loud person and be like, cool, I don't have to do anything tonight. I can just yeah, let this person go off. It's kind of, sometimes it's kind of nice just to sit back and be like, I'm just going to eat this.
Don't. Yeah. Right. Have you guys had this experience though? Because I feel like, I don't know, like some people I feel like are very go with the flow, can kind of get along with a wide variety of people. So you have this person that you're like, oh yeah, and then you introduce them and it becomes clear to you, like in a group setting, that not everyone's on that page. Like I guess that's what I relate to, is I don't know the answer, but I've definitely experienced this anxiety. Like,
oh yeah, totally.
Yeah,
I feel like a social chameleon where I can, depending on the situation, like this person sounds like he should just go to the magic castle and he'll be schooled on dominating conversations. Get a taste of his own medicine. Yeah. For sure.
Hang out with a bunch of magicians.
Yeah.
Well, I think also really like when you were the common denominator, you can be much more hypersensitive to it too.
Yes.
Like then is what is actually happening with everybody else in the group as well, because you are like, you feel like it is your job in that moment. And I think it's just trusting your friends to figure it out. And
yeah. It's actually not your job to do that. Everyone's an adult, maybe, unless you're like all hanging out with kids or something. I don't know. But I'm assuming everyone's an adult and they can make their own decisions.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you sound incredibly empathetic and you sound like an awesome person that I would love to give a high five to.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounds like. You are, yeah, you're empathetic. You're very sensitive to everyone's feeling in the moment. Mm-hmm. And that can be very hard in those kind of settings.
Yes.
But everyone will be fine. And, you know,
yeah.
I don't think talking to him would help. It's not something like Tess said. Mm-hmm. He is who he is. And, you know, unless he's like being extremely rude to someone or something like that, that's a different story where you'd have to be like, you know, maybe say something, but it sounds like he's just like, you know, being himself. So I would just kind of like not worry about it. And
Yeah. I think like the friend groups are going to mesh or they're not going to mesh the way that they're going to. And like, just, you know, having different people with different plans and different interests is great. I think it's, you know, it's not everybody needs to be together all the time.
Do you guys feel like, because I do, that it's kind of a traditionally like female, this anxiety is a bit female, because I feel like we can feel this pressure, like, oh, I have to maintain a good pH level for the whole vibe.
Oh my God, I don't think I've ever had a guy complain about this.
Yeah. No.
I'm always so attuned to it. It's fucking annoying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know. I'll just find myself being like, oh, this is the one thing that you guys both know about. Here, you can talk about this.
Yes. Like, yes.
Yeah. And it's like people, yes. You know, it's hard to just be like, oh, people.
Yeah, I've had to like actively be like, it's gonna be fine, like it's okay, just don't worry about it. And like, but it's very hard to do. Yeah, I don't know why. That's so funny. Yeah, meanwhile guys, like, they're literally not noticing at fucking all. It doesn't matter.
No. But yeah, remove the responsibility of this situation from yourself, because I mean, this person's probably lovely. That's why he's been your friend for so long. So like, also trust that. I mean, he's probably quite entertaining. And like, think of it, if it isn't your best friend that you're inviting and you were at a party where this person you didn't know was acting like this, maybe you'd be a little bit annoyed, but maybe you'd also, like Brandy said, be like just kind of relieved that you can just watch the show.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes that's just
nice. Trust. Yeah, and trust that if people feel uncomfortable, they will leave.
Yeah, they can remove themselves. You know, maybe like hangs as the group is figuring out things, or more like a movie and then dinner or something. Like that way there's like an activity that like he can't dominate, but everybody can be a part of and have like an opinion on or something. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I'm learning here too, because I also put that responsibility on myself. So thank you for the advice, ladies.
Yeah, I think we all
put that responsibility on myself now.
I feel like we all needed this conversation, honestly.
We did. Yeah. We all figured it out together.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for hanging out, Elizabeth. It's been super fun.
Thank you. And do you go by Babs or Barbara?
I go by Babs. I was telling her I'm going to have this conversation about how I tried to twist to Babs and I don't think it's taking, so I might just go back.
You can't.
Okay.
Oh my. Do what you're going to do, but okay.
Yeah. Well, how can I not, though? People call me Barbara all the time and they ask me still if I can call me Babs constantly. And they put me on flyers as Barbara.
That's so annoying. Babs Gray. Babs Gray.
No,
yeah.
I tried to establish it, but it didn't get established. So it's like, all right. Like, I guess I can just go back because it's not worth it. I don't know. Anyway, we can talk about it.
We can make fetch happen. We can make Babs happen.
Sorry to start a new convo, but I was add this.
No, we were talking about it before the show. Thank you. Shout out where everybody can follow you and find your stuff online and check out your stuff.
Oh, thank you. At Siren of Magic on Instagram, and then www.sirenofmagic.com on website. I don't have the Twitter or the anything. I'm old school, just Instagram. So yeah,
good for you. Good.
Pick one and go with it.
And is there a place that they can see like a schedule of where you're performing that's on your website?
If you go to my Instagram, I have a link tree that I need to update, but I will probably have it updated by the time you listen to this. Like, you know how you have your little like link tree thing and there's a link.
Yeah, you got all the stuff on there.
Heck yeah.
Yes.
Amazing. Go check out Elizabeth. Catch her performing sometime if you can. She's amazing. And
thank you.
You're welcome. And we'll see you next time.
Yes. Bye. Thanks for having me on the pod.
Goodbye. Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, I am driving to work and
listening to this week's latest episode and reliving a memory about also punching a girl in the face that I completely forgot about and bring it full circle. It also has to do with Girl Scouts. So I think that was something that we discussed, not this week's episode, but last week's episode. I love how I'm sitting here talking like you're my friends and we actually had this conversation. But I got kicked out of Girl Scouts in like, I think it was like third or fourth grade because I punched a girl in the face because she stole my stuffed toy and then wouldn't give it back to me and proceeded to run around the tables and taunt me with it. So instead of chasing her, I just stopped her and punched her in the face. And I got in trouble and got kicked out of Girl Scouts and my mom had to come pick me up. And then when we got in the car, my mom told me I did a good job for sticking up for myself. So that's that. Just wanted to share my lost memory. Bye.
Hey, ladies. This is Erin. I just wanted to call and thank you so much for the podcast. I started listening when you guys joined the Exactly Right Network, and I decided I would go back and listen through all of the archived episodes. It's really helped me get through my first pregnancy, which was very difficult, a difficult postpartum period, and the first year of my son's life, which has been wonderful and challenging. And I thank you so much for always being there and helping me laugh during this challenging, exciting, upsetting, wonderful time. And thank you for everything. Bye.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker.
Listen, follow, and leave us a review on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And don't forget, you can listen to new episodes 1 week early on Amazon Music or early and ad-free plus bonus episodes by subscribing to Wondery Plus in the Wondery app.
Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.